I'm glad that you are here. I'm glad that you're here.
And, there we go.
I had to share some good with you. Because, I don't want to play the comparison game, but I don't know many people who are more stressed over everything going on right now than at our house. Sonny's basically in charge of every sick kid at the entire university. So yeah, she's doing that. She's doing that. And, anyway, so how I'm coping with it is laughter. I may laugh near you, I may laugh with you, and I just might laugh at you. But I gotta share this with you today because I saw a funny meme. The dad has a 17-year-old, and the 17-year-old's just troubled, and he says, "Son, what's the problem?" And the son says, "Dad, I just realized we will never have a snow day again." Snow days are a thing of the past because of Zoom videos and everyone's got it. Everyone's got their computer. Blew my mind. I was like, oh boy, that was something. That was something. And here's the other one. This is my teacher for the win. This is what happened today. So yesterday I'm teaching these sixth graders about nouns, and we're talking about nouns that sound like a singular thing, but it actually refers to a lot of things. You know, for example, if you order rice, they don't bring you one grain. They bring you a collection of rice, but we just say rice. And so one of the ones that we used as an example was fun. And I said, you can hear how wrong it sounds if I say, today we had three funs in Mr. Park's class. And they said, yeah, that doesn't sound right. We just had fun. I said, all right, well, here's what I want you to do. And my students are great because they do everything I tell them to do. I said, go home tonight. And you know how you usually get home and your parents say, hey, how was your day? And you say, fine. And they just drop it. And it's not a real conversation. They're like, uh-huh. I said, all right, you go home today. And when they say, how was your day? You say, I had three funs in Mr. Park's class. I had a kid whose mom accidentally slammed on the brakes in the car. I had a girl lose her cell phone because her mom thought she was talking like a baby. I had a student get sent to her room because why are you being a smart aleck? And the best of all, one of my teacher's kids, he got grounded for 3 days. Teacher for the win. His mom's an elementary teacher. And he's telling us this story today. I said, did anyone bother to do that last night? And he said, yeah. And he goes, Mr. Park, I got grounded for 3 days. Really? I said, well, I got to be honest with you. Now I'm having four funds. So he goes, yeah. He goes, I did. I said, now you're not messing with me, are you? He's a pretty good kid. And he goes, no, sir, I'm being honest. I got grounded. He said, my mom didn't appreciate that joke. And she said, as long as you're out of town for this wedding this weekend, I'm grounded. Well, there you go. There you go. So, there's a couple funnies for you. They are getting, yeah. Yeah. Hey, if we get stuck, we get stuck. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? Well, I hope you're finding some funny. I hope you're finding some good. And I hope you're finding some reasons to be faithful, to stay faithful, and to love. And to love. Because this mess and this noise does not need to change who you are and who God has made us. All right, so we need some announcements and some prayer requests tonight. So what is going on, Lisa?
Four funds.
Four funds? Awesome.
I have a
Is that all the fun?
That's all the fun.
Okay, all right. Yeah, Chester.
A prayer for my granddad. He apparently was diagnosed
Janet? Excellent. Excellent. So just the one ear? Yeah.
I have an ultrasound on Friday, just routine kind of thing.
Okay.
Just pray that Munchkin's happy and healthy.
Yes, Cassie.
Several praises. One, we're thankful for the rain. We got 2 inches at our house this morning. My kids both asked if school's going to be delayed. Before school gets started. We'll go through the floodwaters to get there. But we're just very grateful for that. James is doing so much better. He's eating. He's walking. He's moved out of ICU. And so they're just working on getting more strength since he was unconscious for 2.5 weeks or so. But he's doing a lot better, and his mom hasn't been up there. She's been at home resting, so that way when he gets home, she can
good.
Kind of take care of him. But just praise for that. And then also my school is going back the Tuesday after Labor Day, so just praise that we get to do that. I'm excited that we get to be back and be with those kids, and just pray for all of us as we kind of start the school year with all the new procedures, but we're excited to be back, and
yes, Alyssa. Okay. Cole? Colt. Colt, okay. All right, well, we will. And we're very glad you're okay, too. We're glad you're okay. Yeah, that's right. That's right. If you're just sick for a regular sick thing, you still have to get a negative test to get back into school. So Alyssa had a tummy ache and ended up getting her nose swabbed to make sure she could go back to school. So she's good. She's good. Yay. All right, anybody else? Ben? Yeah, there you go. There you go. Is that when they get out of the van when they get home? You just do a head count. That's right. I don't have to outrun the bear. I just have to outrun you. Funds? Hey, that could be a ton of funds. Anybody else? Okay, show of hands, who's going to be here Sunday? Who's going to be in town? Okay. All right, good deal. Good deal. So, it's a new month, it's a new Sunday, and I've got to fill the worship with who is going to be here. So Matt, what are you going to take? No, it'll just still be just one person doing the table. So if you want the table?
Oh, sure.
Okay. All right. All right. So, song leaders, who wants to lead singing Sunday? Evan? Steve, you got it? Okay. Okay. closing prayer. Any announcements in closing prayer? Dale, do you want to open Sunday? All right, Dale will open. Closing prayer. Going once, going twice, and I'm about to write down your name. Oh, you got pointed at. You got the closing prayer. That's right. That's right. All right, and we will add, we haven't been having having this, but we will go ahead and have an opening prayer. Mark's going to preach. He's going to bring the message Sunday. I don't know if he'll have a scripture, but opening prayer. He's refusing eye contact. He knew what he was doing. All right, you got the prayer. Not opening prayer, sorry, just the first prayer. Excellent. All right, well, you got your stuff. All right, let's go to our Father in prayer. What?
If you could just, or I can remind everybody that there is a sign-up sheet.
Yep. Yeah. Yes.
Did you do it?
No. Do that. All right, let's go to our Father in prayer, and then we'll have our study tonight. Heavenly Father, thank you for bringing us together in your name. Father, we love you, we adore you. We praise you with all that we have, because you have seen fit to give us the most amazing gift of all, the gift of life in your Son, Jesus Christ. Father, we are humbled before your throne, because all we've done are things deserving of death. And you let your Son, who deserves nothing bad, die in our place. You let your Son take our death sentence upon himself. Father, for this we praise you. And we ask you tonight, Father, that you forgive us, that you fill us with your Holy Spirit, that we walk in the steps of Jesus, that we live our lives in thanksgiving and praise and glory to you. We pray, Father, that you fill us with your light so that we will shine in darkness around us, that we will not conform to this world, that we will be transformed by the knowledge of Jesus Christ. We thank you, Father, for your love and the way that you take care of us, for protecting us. Father, we ask tonight that you give us boldness. That you give us boldness, but also allow us to be gentle in dealing with others. Father, we lift up everybody traveling this weekend, and we'll have a lot on the road, so we just pray that you be with everybody, that you keep them safe. And you just be with families that are able to get together, and just be with everybody on their day off Monday. And just let it be a good time of rest and a good time of peace. Heavenly Father, we praise your name that Ellie was born, that her and mom and family are doing well, and we thank you for this blessing. We ask, Lord, that they teach her and raise her to know you. And we just pray that you be with the Sanders and their birthday cluster, and just watch over them and their celebration this weekend, and just bless them in this and give them a great time. Father, we lift up Chester's granddad, and we just pray that you guard his mind. We pray that you close his tongue from saying anything mean or inappropriate. Father, we're grateful for Janet's ear tube. Thank you for relieving her pain, and just let this be a blessing to her life. Be with Charlie, Father, with her ultrasound, and we just pray that everything is good, that everything is healthy, and that we just ask that all goes well, and this pregnancy will be blessed at every turn. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the rain that we got this morning. We thank you for providing, for keeping us safe in it. Father, we are grateful that James is doing well and that his mom is resting. And we just ask your continued blessings upon them. And we ask that you watch over Cassie and her school as they get going next week. And just bless them with what needs to be done for the safety of those that they serve. And we just pray that you just give them strength and love and patience. Father, we ask that you be with Colt and you heal him of his strep throat. Father, we ask that you be with Ben and the kids as they head out to the wilderness. Please keep them safe and help them grow closer to you. And Father, we just pray that you be with those that are affected right now from COVID. We ask for healing. We ask for wisdom from those who make decisions. We pray, Father, for a spirit not of fear, but of love and of power and of self-control. Father, we just ask that we will not be afraid, but that we will just be a part of the good that is happening. And I pray that you open our eyes every day, Lord, to know and to see and to believe and to trust that you're doing good each and every day. Father, convict our hearts to make us a part of it. Convict our hearts so that we will not be the ones that just sit around and complain about how bad everything is. Convict our hearts to be the ones who, because we trust you, will bring good wherever we go. Heavenly Father, I want to ask specifically just for those college kids that are being quarantined and just so many of them that are testing positive. Just bless them with health and healing. And Father, I want to lift up the kids, the young kids that have tested positive and caused their whole team or class to be stuck at home. I just pray, Lord, that they will not be ridiculed. I just pray, Lord, that they will not be treated bad because of something that they can't control. Father, we love you so very much. We thank you for hearing our prayer. We thank you for loving us and answering our prayer. And as we look at the life of Jesus tonight, I pray that you make us more like him. We pray in his holy name. Amen. Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18. So, what is it that helps you or spurs you on when you are tempted to give up? When you are tempted to quit, when you are tempted to give up, when you are tempted to throw your hands in the air and say, I can't do this anymore, what is it that helps you stay focused, stay committed, and stay strengthened for what is still in front of you? What keeps you from giving up? Lisa? The company you keep? Okay. Okay. All right. It's a good motivation. It's a good motivation. Yeah. 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 Okay. All right. Your ministry. Your ministry. What he's given you to do in the kingdom. Okay, all right. God's perfect history. Yeah, he said God's track record of growing him through every situation. That's what keeps him going. Alyssa? Because God will stay with you? Yes? That's right. That's right. We can't give up because he's always going to be with you, for sure. Luke chapter 18. This is, we're going to take a look at a few stories tonight. And Jesus is teaching, and he's doing, and he's loving, and he's acting. And it starts here in verse 1. He is telling a story to teach people that they can never give up. Don't give up. So what are you going to do instead of giving up? He says, you need to pray. You need to pray always. Luke chapter 18, verse 1, he told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. He said, in a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor respected man. And there was a widow in that city who kept coming to him and saying, give me justice against my adversary. For a while he refused, but afterward he said to himself, though I neither fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will give her justice so that she will not beat me down by her continual coming. And the Lord said, hear what the unrighteous judge says. And will not God give justice to his elect, who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long over them? I tell you, he will give justice to them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? Will he find faith on the earth? So, Jesus tells this story, and he wants them that no matter what they have to go through, no matter what they have to experience, that giving up is not an option. Giving up is not an option. So instead of giving up, when tempted to give up, when tempted to just quit, when tempted to say, I just can't do it anymore, Lord. I mean, you've put me here. It's misplaced trust. You trusted me with something and I can't handle it. So I quit. I quit. And Jesus says that is not an option. So whenever you are tempted to quit, you've got to pray. You've got to pray instead. You've got to go to your Father in prayer. And it's always a good reminder for me. And I love through the book of Acts. I absolutely love through the book of Acts how the Holy Spirit is opening doors and closing doors. And basically just leading, hey, you're going to go, you may think you have plans, but you're going to go where I say you need to go to accomplish kingdom work. And I love that in the book of Acts because I am so inspired to know and to trust and to believe that if God has put me somewhere, I'm supposed to be there. If God has thought enough to put me in a place or in a situation or face to face with another human being, that's where I'm supposed to be. And that's where kingdom purposes will be accomplished that day, if I'm faithful. So that kind of turns your mindset around and it helps me from saying, well, you know what, it's just getting too tough. I think I'm done. I think I quit. I think I'm done with that person, with that situation, with that whatever it is that causes us to lose heart. That causes us to want to quit. That person that I want to just write off or give up on. That situation that just causes me stress and trouble. That I just want to say, you know what? It would be better if I was completely removed from that or that was completely removed from me. Jesus says, instead of giving up, you pray. And then he introduces us to these two characters. He tells a story and he said, all right, in this story, in this town, there's this judge. And it is the judge's job to give justice, to make things right. And this judge has a problem. He's not afraid of God. What God? And he doesn't care about people. So he's got this position to where he's supposed to help people, but he really doesn't care for people. And he's sitting up in his throne. What do judges sit on? Mercy seat. Bench. Yeah. He's up there on the bench and these people come before him and he hears out the cases and he doles out justice. And so this old woman, she's a widow. That means her family's gone. She's got nothing else. She's got no standing. She's got no one else to stand there and say, you know what? I'll take care of that for you. And so she comes up to this judge and she says, my enemy is treating me so bad and I got no one. I don't have a son. I don't have a grandson. I don't have a husband. I don't have anyone to fight for me. I need you to help me in this situation. And judge, he looks up. He doesn't see anything to worry about. I don't believe in God that that's going to cause me to treat this woman kindly. And this judge looks around. I really don't care what people think of me, so I'm going to do whatever I want to do. So he doesn't help her. And she comes back to him again and again and again. She won't quit. She can't quit. She can't quit because that's all she has. And finally, that nasty old guy, that nasty old judge says, you know what? This woman is going to wear me out if I don't give her what she needs. She's going to keep coming back day after day after day. So I'm going to give her what she needs so she will go away and leave me alone. So I have no more reason to say no. I'm just going to say yes. Yes, lady, here. I'm fixing it for you. And Jesus says, hear what the judge says. The judge says, even though I don't care, instead of getting wore out, I'm going to answer. And then he brings God into the picture and he says, now look, your Father in heaven, he is so much better than that judge. Because he loves you. He loves you and he cares about justice. And if you come to him, he's going to take care of you. He's going to answer. So when we're in those situations, when we're tempted to give up, when we're tempted to quit, I think isn't Jesus saying the solution is not to run away, but run to the Father? Yeah, when we're tempted to lose heart, when we're tempted to give up, when we're tempted to say, I just don't see how God can be doing anything good here. Well, maybe you can't see it. Maybe you can't. Maybe you're not meant to see it. Maybe your life is actually meant, or that day, or that week, or that season is actually, your life is meant in God's kingdom for someone else's benefit. So, church, we need to stop praying away from God. We need to be praying to God. And he answers and says, God is so good, he is going to answer. He answers quickly because he loves you. So what does this mean then of all this of God and this judge? Why would Jesus end this story with this question? Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith? When Jesus returns, will he find faith? What's Jesus saying here? I mean, we can assume that he's coming back and he's going to be looking for something. But what does that mean? What does that mean in the context of this story? What does faith look like that Jesus is asking about? Okay.
I had to have some kind of faith. He said, sooner or later, you give me what I want.
Okay.
And it's in the same way, we should be doing the same thing. I mean, if I keep praying for it, sooner or later, God's going to give me what I want. If it's only to shut my trap and get me to stop asking.
I mean, to get you to move on. Kind of like the judge. Yeah, Charlie is wearing me out. You ever thought you've worn God out with your prayers? Good news, you can't. I mean, I've been there. I've had those times in my life where I was like a broken record. Every day, several times a day. Lord, here's the situation. I need it fixed. I need it taken care of. I need justice. And you just felt like, he's got to stop. He's got to be tired of hearing from me. I don't know about you, but I always find it amazing that when I'm so focused on that issue that I'm taking to the Lord has a way of switching my heart to praise and kind of getting my focus off of the problem that I'm having and what I'm asking of God. And he just kind of turns my heart into recognizing God and just go, wow, I mean, I'm going to the one that can fix my problem, the only one that can give me justice. I need to recognize that. And my heart fills and it overflows, and my prayers turn into praise. And you ever been a time in your life where you started out praying for him to fix something, and in the end you didn't care if he fixed it or not, you were just glad to be close to him? Yeah, that's a great thing. That's how awesome God is. That's how awesome God is, that we can come to Him saying, Lord, I need justice. I need this, and I need this, and I need this. And in the end, we walk away going, well, if He gives me justice, that'll be great. But you know what? I have Him, and I'm good. I'm good. So in the end, when Jesus comes back, and is He going to find faith? Is He going to find those who were crying out to the Father? Is He going to find those who are not accepting anything less and who are coming constantly back to God and saying, you're the only one that can give me what I need? And church, that's why we pray to Him, because He is the only one that can give us all what we truly need. There's no other life, there's no other source, there's nothing else. So will He find us constantly going to Him? Will we be drawing upon Him day after day after day? Or will we get tired of no's or thoughts of feeling ignored, and will we turn to another source? When He comes back, will He find us have given up on Him and we've just started to look in other places? We've started to find our strength and power somewhere else. We've started to find our comfort in something else. Will He have found us to have turned away from our constant praying? Or will He find us faithful? It's a pretty cool story. Pretty inspiring. Let's turn over to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10 talks about this a little bit. Hebrews chapter 10, go down to verse 34. First one there, please read 34 to the end of the chapter.
For you had compassion on those in prison, and you joyfully accepted the plundering of your property, since you knew that you yourselves had a better possession and an abiding one. Therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward, for you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what is promised. For yet a little while, and the coming one will come and will not delay. But my righteous one shall live by faith. And if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who have faith and preserve their souls.
All right, thank you. All right. He says, you have need of endurance. You need it. You need it. We are not those who shrink back. Because if you shrink back from God, what happens? What does it say? Destroyed. He said, that's not us. That is not us. We know better. We know better. We know God better than that. We're not just going to be fickle. We're not going to be flaky. We're not going to be, I'll serve Him for a while, and then I'm going to go do my own thing, and I'll trust Him with this, but this is too big. I'm going to take care of this myself. We don't deal with the Lord like that. We don't deal with that at all. We have need for endurance, because if we shrink back, if we shrink back, we're destroyed. If we give up, if we quit. So don't throw away your confidence. Don't throw away your confidence, because He's not going to delay. Number 38, that kind of hit you? Verse 38, my righteous one shall live by faith, and if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. God's soul has no pleasure in the one who shrinks back from him. God's pleasure has no soul, but God's soul has no pleasure in that one. Wow. That's powerful. All right, let's go back to chapter 18. Back to the next story. So now he's going to tell a story. To people who, well, they really just trusted in how good they were, and they looked down on other people. They approached God and said, I'm so awesome, God. Aren't you glad I'm on your team? God, I'm so amazing. Aren't you glad you picked me? So he tells this story in verse 9. He told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and treated others with contempt. Two men went up to the temple to pray. One a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, prayed thus. Now listen to the whole prayer. This is the Pharisee. A guy who knows the Lord's law. This is what he says. He goes up to the temple. And here's his words. God, I thank you. that I am not like other people. Extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector over here. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I get. That's his prayer. That's it. He goes to the house of prayer. He looks up at him and he says, God, whew, the best thing that I can praise you for is making me me. That's what this guy does. He stands before God and said, God, I got to tell you, on this day, some of your finest work. Got to be honest. You're a pretty fortunate deity to have me on your side. I mean, I'm not like these other people. Oh, especially that guy. Oh, Lord, I'm sorry you even have to see that. We shouldn't have to look at that. That's so beneath us. And you know, I give regularly. I fast. Not much else needs to be said, does it? Wow. And that's it, verse 13. But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even lift up his eyes to heaven. But he beat his breast, saying, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. That's it. That's his prayer. He addresses the same God, but all he says about himself is, I'm a sinner. And all he asks for is mercy. He doesn't come to God saying, hey, I've done this for you, I've done that for you, I'm good because of this, I'm good because of that. No, this guy just looks at himself, he knows himself. And God, I come to you for the one thing that I need. Mercy. Because you are God, I need you to look down upon me and show me mercy. I'm a sinner. I need it. And Jesus brings himself back into the story and he says in verse 14, look, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted. Whew. Isn't that amazing that if you think that you are important, God will put you down? But if you know you need God, then God will lift you up. It's a great God we serve. He is a great God. So let me ask you this. Why do we fall into the trap? Because we know. Why do we fall into the trap of comparing ourselves with others? Why do we do that? Why do we do that? I mean, that's what the Pharisee did. He showed up to the house of prayer and all he could do, I mean, he couldn't even keep his eyes closed. He had to look at present company. Oh, I'm glad I'm not like him. I'm glad I'm not like her. Really glad I'm not. Oh, this guy. Ugh. Why? Why would we compare ourselves with anyone else? Why would we do that? How's it easy? It's tangible. Okay. 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 All right. Because what does that do? When we find flaws in other people, what does that do for us? In our own esteem, it builds us up. And what'd you say? Okay. All right. So we can... Yeah, because at least I'm not as bad as that guy, right? Yeah, Aaron?
Well, perhaps you have the same problem the Pharisees have. The Pharisees misunderstood the law as the way to get to God, rather than they thought, well, if we perfect it, we can figure out our own strength, we can get to God by doing what we have to do. And so you see somebody that says, well, they're not doing what they're supposed to do. They're not as good as I am. They're not doing what they're supposed to do. Completely not looking at the fact that we're all saved by the grace of God and not by our own works. So we're still looking at ourselves by earthly standards rather than by what God has done. Not looking through the eyes of God, where like everyone in this room who's saved is saved, covered by the same blanket, same amount of grace. No one is better. No one is less, because it's the work of God.
Yeah. Yeah, that's tough to look kind of directly at sometimes, because we're still here in these relationships, aren't we? I mean, we kind of know where we stack up, don't we? Doesn't that make us feel a little bit better? I mean, if I know who I'm better than, and I know who's better than me, I know who I can spend time with comfortably, I know who I can avoid. You know, it's Chester, what do you got? That's what he says. He said, everyone who exalts himself will be humbled. You had your hand up, didn't you?
I think sometimes also we just get so tired and bogged down by what we see other people doing, and we know it's wrong. And sometimes we just, in the midst of waiting for God maybe to get us through it, sometimes it's just one of those times where it's like, I'm tired of seeing what they do, so I'm going to start comparing.
Okay. All right. So, in connected with Jesus saying, will God find, or will Jesus, when he comes back, find people looking to God, or in our desperation or boredom or religion, will we take our eyes off the Father and forget his greatness and start looking around at the ordinariness of our neighbor? Because if I can focus on the ordinariness or the flaws of my neighbor, I feel so much better about today. Because, you know, I'm dealing with my family and my marriage and my trouble and my headaches and my problems and my sins and the way that I don't act properly and the things that I'm not saying right, the things that I'm not doing right, and all the things that I should be doing and I'm not doing it, I'm feeling guilty about it. And it's so much easier just to find somebody else that goes, ooh, what a clod. Yeah, at least I'm not that one, right?
It kind of makes me think of that playground mentality. You know, we've all been on the playground where they're divvying out who's on whose team.
I'm picking teams.
And nobody wants to be the last kid picked. And at least I wasn't the last kid picked.
That's right. That's right. Let's close it up in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. The Apostle Paul kind of helps us out with this idea. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 5. 2 Corinthians 1, 5. It says, for as we share abundantly in Christ's sufferings, so through Christ we share abundantly in comfort too. If we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation. And if we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which you experience when you patiently endure the same sufferings that we suffer. Our hope for you is unshaken, for we know that as you share in our sufferings, you will also share in our comfort. We do not want you to be unaware, brothers, of the affliction we experienced in Asia, for we were so utterly burdened beyond our strength that we despaired of life itself. Indeed, we felt that we had received the sentence of death. But that was to make us rely not on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. He delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us. On him we have set our hope that he will deliver us again. You also must help us by prayer so that many will give thanks on our behalf for the blessing granted us through the prayers of many. Got so bad, we thought, you know what? We can die. We can just have it be over. I quit. I give. But that's not what God wanted. That's not God's plan. In fact, God strengthened us and God got us through. You know the best evidence that God has got you through past troubles? Today's troubles. You're here to have troubles today because he got you through the troubles you were dealing with yesterday. So just as he got you through everything, he's going to get you through this. Don't let go. Don't look away. Don't give up. Hang on. Hang on. Have a wonderful week. It's good to see you. Enjoy your Labor Day.